Chapter 40, New Ventures to the Americas, Walter Raleigh and the New World. During Elizabeth's reign, the Spanish were busy building an empire. Philip, the Spanish prince who had married Mary, and who had offered to marry Elizabeth, had inherited the throne of Spain. He ruled not only over Spain itself, but over parts of Italy and Europe. And Spain's empire stretched over to the Americas as well. Spanish settlers had built colonies in Central and South America. Now the Spanish were beginning to move into North America, too. Two Spanish adventurers, Hernando de Soto and Francisco Vázquez de Coronado, had already explored parts of what is now the United States, and a Spanish colony had been built in the land that now belongs to Florida. If the Spanish took over both North and South America, the Spanish Empire would become the largest and most powerful in the world. Elizabeth didn't want Spain to become more important than England, so she gave English pirates permission to attack Spanish ships headed for the New World, and she began to plan English expeditions to North America. England needed to build its own colonies in North America before Spain claimed it all. Who would be in charge of the English attempt to explore North America? Elizabeth decided to give the job to one of her favorite knights, Sir Walter Raleigh. Walter Raleigh was a tall, handsome, hot-tempered man, always getting himself involved in tavern fights and arguments. But he was also a poet who swore eternal devotion to the Queen. One story tells us that Raleigh was walking with the Queen when the two came to a muddy spot in the road. Raleigh whipped off his velvet cloak, threw it across the mud with a flourish, and invited the Queen to walk on top of it. This sort of behavior charmed the Queen. She gave Raleigh land, money, and a special position at court. And she told him that he could organize the expedition to North America. That meant that Raleigh would arrange for ships, provisions, and sailors. In return, Elizabeth promised to give Walter Raleigh plenty of land in North America for his own. Raleigh had tried to get to North America before. When he was a young man, he had gone with his brother on an attempt to land in the New World. But their ships never made it across the ocean. First, a Spanish fleet attacked them and drove them back, and then a storm forced them to return to land. Later, Raleigh's brother tried once more to make it across the Atlantic, but his ship was lost at sea, and he was never seen again. This time around, Elizabeth ordered Raleigh to stay in England while the ships tried to reach North America. She didn't want her favorite knight to drown or to be killed by the Spanish. So Raleigh filled two ships with provisions and men and sent them off. The sailors had orders to explore the coast of North America, find the best place for a colony to settle, and then return. The ships were gone for over a year, a long year for Sir Walter Raleigh. Finally, the ships were sighted on the horizon. They had returned safely. Raleigh ran down to the docks to hear the news. When the ship's captains came down the gangplanks, they were full of stories and enthusiasm. They had landed on the east coast of North America and found rich, fertile land, perfect for growing crops. The native Indians were friendly. Two had even agreed to return to England on the English ships. The sailors had brought back pearls, soft, beautiful animal skins, and two new plants, potatoes and tobacco. They told Raleigh that the Indians put tobacco into clay pipes, lit it, and then blew smoke from their mouths. They had never seen anyone smoking before. Raleigh decided to try out this new tobacco for himself. One evening, he sat in his rooms trying to figure out how his new pipe worked. He blew and puffed and choked. Finally, he managed to breathe the smoke into his lungs. Just then, his manservant came into the room. When he saw smoke coming out of Raleigh's nose, he thought Raleigh was on fire. Yelling for help, he grabbed a bucket of cold water and dumped it over Raleigh's head. Now Raleigh had to find colonists who would be willing to build a new town in the New World. Eventually, 107 men and women agreed to go to America. Raleigh filled their ships with seed, salt, livestock, and building tools and sent them off. He told them to name their new colony Virginia, in honor of Elizabeth, who was known as the Virgin Queen. The settlers landed safely in Virginia and began to build homes, fences, and gardens. But after a year, they begged to be allowed to come back to England. The Virginia winters were freezing cold. The ground wasn't as fertile as the first explorers had told them. They had so little food that they had been forced to eat their dogs, and the Indians were growing more and more unfriendly. Finally, a ship brought the unhappy colonists home. Walter Raleigh was determined to try again. He sent another ship full of settlers to Virginia, but this attempt failed as well. And in the meantime, Raleigh started to have troubles of his own in England. He had fallen in love with one of Elizabeth's maids of honor, a beautiful girl named Bess Throckmorton. But he knew that Elizabeth would be angry if she found out. She wanted Raleigh to be dedicated only to her service. So he and Bess Throckmorton married in secret, and Bess went on living at the palace. But then Bess discovered that she was going to have a baby. When the queen found out what had happened, she arrested both of them and threw them into the Tower of London. She didn't like secrets at her court. After a month, Elizabeth let both of her prisoners out, but she banished them from her court and told them to go away and live in the English countryside. The year after his release, Raleigh wrote a poem that began, "Like truthless dreams, so are my joys expired," and went on, "My lost delights have left me all alone in unknown ways." Walter Raleigh's days as the Queen's favorite were over. Although Raleigh lived for many more years and had many adventures, his story ends sadly. He never sent another expedition to North America. When Elizabeth died, there was still no English colony in the New World, and the king who inherited her throne charged Raleigh with treason and threw him in the Tower of London for 12 years. Finally, the king let Raleigh out and told him that he could go free as long as he went to South America and found gold for England. Raleigh tried, but when he returned empty-handed, he was beheaded. The Lost Colony. Do you remember the first Virginia colonists who grew so hungry that they begged to come home? They had settled on an island called Roanoke Island. Today, that island is part of North Carolina. Storms from the sea often blew across the island, and the Native Americans there had begun to threaten the English settlers. So when the colonists went back to England, they left 15 soldiers behind to guard their little town. When Raleigh's second band of colonists set out for Virginia, they decided to abandon Roanoke Island. Instead, they planned to land further north, near the Chesapeake Bay. But they did convince the commander of their ships to stop at Roanoke Island to pick up the 15 soldiers who had stayed behind. The ships anchored in the water nearby, and the colonists rowed over to the island in small boats. But the 15 soldiers had disappeared. The settlement was deserted, the houses overgrown by vines and weeds. Deer wandered through the village, poking their heads into windows. The colonists searched, but found only the skeleton of a single soldier. "They've all been killed by Indians," the colonists muttered. "Let's get out of here." But the commander who was in charge of the colonists' ships was tired of having the colonists on board. They were seasick all the time, and they complained about how uncomfortable the ships were. And the commander had already argued with John White, the colony leader. So he ordered the ships to leave the colonists on Roanoke Island and go back to England. The colonists were horrified. They had only a few boats, so they couldn't get off the island. It was July in Virginia, hot and very muggy. Bugs were everywhere, and the settlement was falling down around them. But the colonists did their best. They cleaned out the abandoned houses and fenced in the deserted gardens. They tried to make friends with the Native Americans again, and for a little while, friendly Native Americans helped them to trap fish and grow corn and beans. Less than a month after the colonists were stranded on Roanoke Island, John White's daughter Eleanor had a baby girl. She and her husband, Ananias Dare, named the little girl Virginia. Virginia Dare was the first English baby born in the New World. For a little while, it seemed that the Roanoke Island colony might survive. But then the colonists attacked a group of friendly Native Americans because they thought that the Native Americans were dangerous. They were wrong. But after this disastrous mistake, the Indians refused to help the colonists find any more food. The colonists were afraid they would starve when winter came. So the colony voted to send John White back to England in one of the small boats. If he could make it back alive, he could get help. Food, supplies, and more ships. If he left right away, perhaps he could even be back before winter was over. Then the colonists could go to the Chesapeake Bay, as they had originally planned. John White didn't want to leave his daughter and granddaughter on Roanoke Island, but the other colonists insisted. So John White began the long, rough journey back across the Atlantic Ocean. 3 months later, he arrived in London. At once he asked to see Sir Walter Raleigh and told the great man what had happened. Raleigh began to collect supplies and ships to help the colonists, but his efforts took time. The winter dragged slowly by. Finally, in early spring, the ships were ready to sail. John White could only hope that the colonists had survived the winter. But then disaster struck. England and Spain declared war on each other. Spanish ships sailed up and down the Atlantic, threatening any English ship that passed. And Queen Elizabeth took Raleigh's ships to help fight the Spanish. John White couldn't get back to his colony for 3 more years. Finally, he begged to be taken aboard a warship which was headed to South America to raid Spanish colonies. John White spent months on this ship, waiting for it to head north. Finally, the ship made its way up to the Virginia coast to Roanoke Island. John White hoped to be greeted by the colonists at the shore, but the island was empty and still. He walked warily along the overgrown paths toward the settlement, but when he arrived, he found only gardens filled with weeds and the foundations of the houses. The wood, windows, and doors were completely gone. The colony had disappeared. John White was frantic with worry, but he saw no signs of fighting and no bones or bodies. And since there were no ruins, it seemed clear that the colonists had taken the houses down and moved them to another place. If they planned on building a new settlement, they would need the materials from their old homes, but where were they? John White searched the whole island. He had told the colonists to carve a cross in a tree if they began to get into trouble, to serve as a message. But there was no cross anywhere. Finally, he found his only clue, the word Croatoan, whittled into the thick trunk of a tree at the settlement's edge. Perhaps the settlers had gone to nearby Croatoan Island, using their small boats to travel across the water a few at a time. But Croatoan Island was too small for the whole colony, and when his ship had passed it just days earlier, he had seen no sign of life. Still, John White planned to go search Croatoan Island. But as his ship set out for the island, a hurricane blew up from the south and almost drowned everyone on board. For days, wind and rain lashed the ship, which almost sank. When the wind finally died down, the ship's captain insisted on going back to England right away. Back in England, John White tried to convince Walter Raleigh to send another expedition to find out what had happened. But Raleigh couldn't find anyone willing to go. It was 20 years before another Englishman set foot on Roanoke Island. By then, the traces of the settlement were fading and Croatoan Island was empty. Many years afterwards, other English settlers heard different stories from the tribes near Roanoke Island. Some said that the colonists had been killed, although no bodies were ever seen. Others claimed that they had gone to live with nearby Native Americans. Rumors started that a blonde-haired child had been seen living with a tribe near the Chesapeake Bay. But no one has ever solved this mystery for sure. The lost colony will always remain a puzzle.